Today's scriptures are part of Joseph's story. Genesis chapter 30, verses 22 through 24. Then God remembered Rachel, wife of Jacob, and God heeded her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she named him Joseph, saying, May the Lord add to me another son. And from chapter 37, these are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel, previously named Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, and then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us? So they hated him even more because of his dreams and words. And he had another dream and told it to his brothers, saying, Look, I've had another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, What kind of dream is this that you have had? Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow to the ground before you? So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So last week we mentioned a quick thinking sister, and this week we've got brothers. They seem to have quite the opposite intent than that sister did. As we conclude our season of Lent and our re-words, our R-E words, the ones that tell us to do something again, as we conclude that time, we get to relationship and the story of Joseph. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to hear you this day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. So we need to know who Jacob is, right? Jacob was one of the two sons, the twins of Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob, exactly, the twins. Jacob was the favorite of his mother. That's important. When he was born, it says that he held on to the heel of his brother Esau, and that's how he got his name. Also, in Genesis, it says that Jacob continued to take hold of others' possessions. He liked that taking hold of thing. First Esau's birthright, then his father's blessing, and then his father-in-law's flocks and herds. He took them. Also, like Joseph's grandfather Abraham, he had had, or Jacob's grandfather Abraham, he had had many journeys. But the one that's important for us to think about is the one that gets us to Joseph, right? And it starts in Genesis chapter 29. There was this woman named Rachel. I think if the Bible were written a little differently, it would say, there was this woman named Rachel. Yeah. Yeah, and Jacob saw her, and he was pleased. Yeah, and Rachel was such a blessing to him because he said, oh, I'm from the family of, and she said, oh, let me introduce you to my dad. Yeah. So she took him home and introduced him to her dad, and her. Eventually in the story, it happens that Jacob gets to marry her older sister Leah instead. I think every time I read this, I hear, Leah, Rachel, Leah, Rachel. Yeah, that's how this story is written. Poor girl Leah, right? The story continues with not only him beginning to marry both of these girls, but Rachel continuing to be his beloved or his favorite. She remained childless for many years while others bore Jacob his children. First Leah, then Rachel offered her servant in her place to Bilhah, right? And then Leah, not getting pregnant just then, decided to offer her servant in her place, Zilpha, and they went back and forth bearing sons for Jacob. And then there was a daughter too somewhere in there. But still Rachel had none. And as Carol read for us in verse 22, it says, then God remembered Rachel and heeded her and bore her a son. And it was his favorite son because it was from Rachel. Yeah, yeah. So Jacob's favorite son was born, Joseph. So before he's even born, we can just see how special this guy is, right? And some of us don't like him before he's even born, right? Because we know those people who were special for no good reason. Yeah. But Joseph was special for a lot of good reasons. Yeah. His father thought he was the favorite, and since he knew what it was like to be a favorite, he treated him extra special. And one special thing he did was give him a special coat. Imagine how that went over when the other 10 were standing there watching him get the special coat, right? Yeah. Most of us know these feelings, right? And they're not like, woohoo, let's have a parade, he got a coat. Yeah. His brothers hated him. They hated him. God gave Joseph a very special talent as well. He could understand dreams. He interpreted them. First, his own dreams, and that caused quite an uproar, as you heard. His dreams, this future-looking glimpse of how God might have the world to be, it displayed a time when his father, family would all bow down to him. He would be the one that they would bow down to. And he told his brothers about it. And they hated him. Yeah. In chapter 37 of Genesis, we hear of his brothers' plot. They were plotting to kill Joseph. They wanted him gone. They were done. They were done. But the eldest brother, the first child, the son of Leah, saved him with very careful thinking. He asked the brothers, could we, instead of killing him, could we just tie him up and leave him there? And then his thought was he'd just come back and get him when the other brothers weren't around. But Reuben went out to do this task while the brothers were going to tie him up. And instead they thought, nah, we'll just kill him and throw him in a pit. Well, they put him in the pit, and then they got wise and decided he was worth more alive than dead. So they sold him, and they told Reuben he had died. It's not just the main character of a story that really tells us about God and God's love for us, but it's the brothers and the sisters in the stories also. It is the brothers and the sisters that have kept the chosen ones of God alive. We found out that last week, too. I've been thinking a lot about that, the brothers and the sisters part. I'm fortunate enough, I have a brother and a sister. And thankfully, I don't think either of them have done a cost analysis of keeping me above ground. Right? Do you know my trade-in value? And we were all fortunate enough at different times in our lives and in different situations to be our mother or father's favorite. My grandparents didn't use the word favorite with their children. They used the word chosen one. They had 6 children, and they took turns telling them that you're the chosen one. And that was usually dependent on what need they had at the time. Being chosen wasn't always a blessing. So I've been thinking about that. Family, chosen, special, Holy Week. And I can't help but wonder what this Holy Week we can learn from Joseph's story. There's the obvious lessons, right? Like, don't spend it all in one place. Store up your grain for a time when none will grow, right? Be prepared for what could happen in case nothing good is happening. And then, of course, we've got forgiveness, right? That's the key to Joseph's story. That's what most people look to Joseph's story for, is to share this idea of forgiveness that's layers and layers and years and years and years in the making. See, after he was sold to that Egyptian officer, he ends up in Potiphar's house, where he has an opportunity to sleep his way into staying at the top. And he says no. And the woman who was denied gets tricky. And she tells a very different story that gets him thrown into prison. And in prison, again, Joseph's conduct is above board, earning him a position of responsibility where he has an opportunity to interpret dreams again. It eventually lands him in front of Pharaoh, interpreting his dreams, and in turn, he ends up with even more responsibility. And when his brothers, hungry and in need, come before him during the famine, he tests them. And then within that test, we hear this pleading, a true heartfelt relationship type pleading from his brother Judah to let Benjamin, now the youngest son, return to his father. Judah says, "Take me instead. Keep me instead." He offers to stay in his brother's place. Does that story sound familiar? Someone standing in someone else's space when a debt is owed more than one could ever pay, more than anyone deserves, more than one should even ask forgiveness for, when a debt so large is owed that someone offered to take the place. In this story, Joseph forgives his brothers. He didn't have to. He had survived and even thrived in spite of their cruelty. He could have just given them the food that they asked for. In fact, that's all they thought that they needed. But he didn't. He took the opportunity to reveal his identity and to give them a bigger gift. With the food, he gave them forgiveness. He fulfilled their current need and their past need as well. He went all in and he offered grace. He understood that God had worked through him for his family, that his suffering, his perseverance, that it had been to preserve his family. He understood his life to be an instrument of God's will. Isn't that awesome? All of those times when he could have turned away from God, when he could have forgotten his family, when he could have said, "I'm an orphan," right? Or, "I have no one that cares about me," he didn't. He continued to carry them with him. He continued to carry God with him. And when the time was right, he offered one of the greatest gifts, the gift of forgiveness. And he gave God the glory for the gifts that he was given, the talents that he had, the opportunities. Sure, being thrown in a pit wasn't awesome. Being sold into slavery wasn't great. But he used that time to love and serve God. Relationship. Sticky. Messy. Ugly. Sometimes it feels unredeemable. But today we're talking about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, right? That's supposed to be the topic of the day, this Palm Sunday, the day when the people reached up for the trees and they pulled off the branches and they waved them and said, "Welcome, King of Kings, Hosanna in the highest praise to the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Today is Jesus' parade day. My favorite in the whole Christian year. I love this day because it's a day when people who didn't have anything took off whatever they did have and just threw it before Jesus because they wanted to take part. They wanted to be in the procession. They wanted Jesus to know that he was special, even though no one was treating him too special, right? Especially not the ones in charge, right? And so they ripped the branches off the trees and they waved them. And they gave thanks to God for Jesus. And Jesus rode in on a young donkey, a colt, right? A sign of a new king. He rode and he let this parade happen around him. And he, I have to think, he smiled. Like you were smiling today. Because a parade is fun, right? Especially the old kind of parades where they just throw candy. Yeah, right? I don't think they had candy in Jesus' time, but whatever it is, right? Bagels, I don't know, right? But being the center of that parade, people said he was special. He was important. And it didn't matter what his title was or his outfit was. He was Jesus. Friends, as you enter into this Holy Week, I invite you to think of these things: relationship, parades, how your soul is with God. How often do you ask yourself that question, right? How is my relationship with God? If you haven't done it lately, try it this week. If you do it every day, do it again. Ask yourself, are you ready to receive Jesus, to allow Jesus to stand in your place? In your place. Like Judah was going to do for Benjamin. Are you ready to accept Jesus' forgiveness? Because Jesus forgave not out of responsibility, not out of vain, not out of humanity, but he considered that those of hearts that were in front of him, that those who had gathered were our hearts as well. And Jesus opened up his heart to them, and he bore their interest. He gave out of humility. See? Don't read. Do your heart. Jesus rode into Jerusalem with a heart full of forgiveness, knowing that they would crucify him. Knowing that the same ones who were waving their palm branches would show up later and shout, "Crucify him!" But in that moment, he let his heart be full. He let his heart be full. And he rode through that city, and he heard, "Hosanna." Let's get ready for Easter together by remembering, repenting, and reconciling. Let's release so that all may be restored into right relationship with God this year. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.